Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me.
Welcome back. This is John McClain's favorite Christmas song.
Well known now. We got huge ratings.
John McClain with us on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. 615-737-1045, our number if you want to preview the NFL weekend with the man in black and the man who's covered the league since the late 70s. Phone lines available.
737-1045. It's not all the time you get a chance to talk to the man in black himself. Now is that opportunity. Give us a call with your NFL question for John McClain at 615-737-1045.
John, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you guys and all your listeners.
I know you believe the divisional round of the playoffs to be the best weekend of football all year, but the way the next 2 weeks shape up, especially in the AFC, there are some really intriguing matchups to pay attention to starting tomorrow right here in Nashville.
There's so much at stake. I mean, the Titans and the Colts are going to win this weekend, and then they hope that that last game in Nashville will determine the last wild card. It may or may not. Could be Pittsburgh, could be Baltimore. I think both those teams are going to lose this weekend, and that means Pittsburgh will retain its one-half game lead over the Ravens. And right now, that's one of the things I love about the NFL, right? When you think you know what's going on, something else does. You know, who would have thought that Seattle would have lost at San Francisco? I still think the most, as I've said, the most mystifying game of the year was the Jaguars beating Indy 6-0 3 weeks ago. It just, that game has made no sense. Then Indianapolis bounced back and won the Texas State Championship by ending the Texans' 9-game winning streak and the Cowboys' 5-game winning streak. And I think the AFC is much more balanced and more interesting right now. And I also believe, I think I would love to see the road to the Super Bowl in Atlanta go through Carson, California in a 30,000-seat stadium. That would be so much egg on the NFL's face, and it deserves it for letting the Chargers get out of San Diego.
This is from our friend Mike Herndon at Mike Miracles. Since week 8, the Texans, Colts, and Titans are a combined 17-4, with 3 of those losses coming to each other. Against non-AFC South teams, they're a perfect 12-0. The only extra loss there was the Colts' loss to the Jaguars. So, Colts, Texans, and Titans have lost only to each other and the Jags since week 8.
Did you tweet that, Paul? Because I want to retweet it. That's a great stat.
Yeah, I'll retweet it right now.
Okay.
And everyone was saying that
it's the only division that has 3 teams with winning records. And right now, the Texans are not on the roll, but the Titans are. Titans are going to win their 4th game in a row. The Colts have won 7 of 8. Well, the Texans have won 10 of 11, but they haven't played well in the last 2 games defensively or running the ball, which were 2 of their strengths. And now they go to Philadelphia, where I picked them to lose by 3.
John, as far as the AFC South is concerned, you mentioned that the Colts had that loss to Jacksonville. Titans had that loss to Buffalo earlier in the year that was just one they should not have lost based on the way the Bills have played and were playing at the time. What would be the loss that the Texans would point to? Is it the Titans?
Oh, yeah, by far. You had Blaine Gabbert playing. Your top 3 offensive tackles were out. Delanie Walker was done for the season, and they went it on a fake field goal touchdown pass That was by far the worst game. They lost the next one by 5 at home to the Giants, but Eli Manning played great in that game. He hadn't come close to duplicating that performance. But that Titans game, because of the injuries, is the one that everybody here, the Texans don't talk about it, but the fans and the media talk about it, is the one that they should have won that they lost.
If they win that game in week 2 here in Nashville, not only would they already have the AFC South locked up, would they already have a bye guaranteed for them?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but I do know this. Instead of being 10-4, they'd be 11-3.
Right.
And that would give them a chance to get home field advantage.
John, will Lamar Jackson carry the Ravens into the playoffs?
I believe he will carry them into the playoffs. They're running more than any team there. Since he became a starter 5 games ago, the only time they've rushed less than 200 yards, I believe, was 197. Now, if he ever gets, if they stop the running game, they have no prayer because he's maybe the most inaccurate quarterback in the league. But so far, it's been hard. And I think they'll lose to the Chargers and they'll be in the same predicament. It'll be a situation where they're trying to get that last wild card with the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah, and this is, I'm watching this game tomorrow night to see which team can establish their game plan first and which team has to adjust. Because Baltimore is 4-1 with Jackson as the starting quarterback. But those 4 wins came against the Bengals, the Raiders, the Falcons, and the Buccaneers. The lone loss was the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that game was close. It's not like they were blown out. But the Chargers are closer to the Chiefs, we all know that, than the Bengals, Raiders, Falcons, and Buccaneers. So he's had a stretch run here where he's had a chance to gear up for a game like this, and it's a big one for the rookie.
Yeah, the thing is about when you have a team that runs a lot, if you can stop their run and they play good defense like the Ravens, most of the scores are going to be close. And you're not going to blow people out unless they fumble a lot and you capitalize. And it's hard to score a lot of touchdowns if you're running the ball as much as the Ravens are. But I could see Baltimore. I don't know who the Ravens play in the last game. I forgot.
I believe it's Browns.
Yeah.
And Cleveland, boy, Cleveland, you know, they're even though they only got a 1% chance of making the playoffs, they're really enthusiastic about winning. Players trying to get Greg Williams his job. They keep Freddie Kitchens. So for a team that's out of the playoffs in that last game, I think I wouldn't want to play them because they got a lot of pride in what they've done this season and the prospects for next season when they're going to be a legitimate playoff contender.
Donald is first up for John McClain today. Hey, Donald.
Donnie.
Hey, guys. How you doing, guys?
Great.
How you doing, John? Always good to talk to you.
I'm great, Donald. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, and your family, to all you guys. I just got a question about the coaches, you know, just that time of the year, they'll be getting pink slips. And is it really true you think that the Arizona coach, after 1 year, is going to get a pink slip? And do you see Jacksonville coach and the Carolina coach going to be getting a pink slip as well? Do you see that happening?
I do not see Ron Rivera at Carolina getting fired. Doug Marrone, the Jaguars' collapse has been momentous. He's got a boss that a lot of people think wants to coach again, Tom Coughlin. I don't know if that's true. As far as Steve Wilks, it would be grossly unfair to fire a guy 1 year into his tenure when you're starting a rookie quarterback and you don't have a lot of talent. But a columnist, Kent Summers, longtime beat writer, Paul and I know him very well, he wrote this week, he'd be surprised if Steve Wilks is back. If that's the case, Steve Wilks, along with the Jets' Todd Bowles, will be defensive coordinators in demand because both of them were really good. But I just don't think it's fair on 1 year, unless you know behind the scenes you've made a mistake. I'm sure John Elway, there was talk that he was going to fire Vance Joseph after 1 year based on their not doing very well, and Joseph's going to get fired now. I bet Elway wish he had pulled the plug on Vance Joseph after 1 season.
John, I'm with you. When you hear the story on Wilkes, I have to think that something else is going on there, that they know something about his inadequacies as a head coach behind the scenes other than just what we're seeing on the field, because it does, just face value, it seems very unfair with a rookie quarterback. They'd fire him after 1 year.
You're right, Chad, and those things that go on behind the scenes, maybe leadership, people skills, we just don't know. But when a guy gets fired after one season, it goes way beyond his record.
He was a very popular candidate. He interviewed here.
I wonder if, who knows what happens with Tomlin. If the Steelers don't make the postseason, is Tomlin gone?
No, I don't think Mike Tomlin's gone.
Okay. McCarthy's going to be available. He's out there. You know, Arizona's looking at some established coaches that could be on the market in that situation.
I'm still very curious. Like, if Doug Marrone gets fired, you know, he was 9-7 his one season in Buffalo, and he quit because he had it in his contract. The team was sold. He could get out of it, and he didn't want to work for the current owners. So he goes down to Jacksonville, and they almost go to the Super Bowl. And if he's fired 1 year later, I got to think. People are always talking about a lack of candidates. Doug Marrone would be a candidate. And Mike McCarthy, the one I'm curious about, and you don't hear much about this, the Browns are going to need a coach. And John Dorsey worked at the Packers. His two top personnel men, Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf, worked for the Packers forever. Are they tight with McCarthy? Do they think McCarthy's a great coach? Will they push the Haslams to bring him in there? So it's a mystery to me. I do think Cleveland is the best job because of the talent, and they've got a good personnel staff. And then there's going to be a surprise that we're not expecting. Maybe it is Mike Tomlin, but every year there's a surprise. And I expect people say, well, who do you think it could be? And I said, well, if I knew that, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Here's my big surprise for a guy who's getting a head coaching job. There's too much talk in Cleveland about keeping Kitchens with Mayfield. Kitchens is getting a head coaching job somewhere. If it ain't in Cleveland, he's head coach somewhere else.
And he said today
else.
He wants to be head coach, or at least that's the headline.
Yeah, his body of work with Mayfield, with a whole league looking for offensive geniuses to pair with young quarterbacks. If he doesn't get the head coach job in Cleveland, he's going to be paired with a young quarterback somewhere.
That'll be interesting because he's got a half a season that he's excelled. Is that enough to convince an owner to hire him? I think a lot of it would be how he comes across. I haven't paid attention to him about his personality. I know when he was working all those years with Bruce Arians and never heard anybody talk about him as a head coach. And I think if he doesn't get one now and he stays there, if the new coach keeps him, then he'd get one next year. Problem is they want an offensive coach. And an offensive coach is not going to want Freddie Kitchens calling the plays when he could be doing it.
Well, and we all know Condoleezza Rice is getting that Browns job.
That's
so
true.
There's no reason for anyone else.
Right.
No reason for speculation.
And she'll probably call her on.
I wonder what she thinks about Kitchens.
Yeah, I'm sure she's, like Paul said, she's probably going to call her own offensive plays.
Let's go to David next up. Hey, David.
How y'all doing, fellas?
We're great.
John, how you doing, sir?
I'm great, David. Merry Christmas.
Right back at you. John, you might not like this, but it's still a possibility that the Titans can win the division. If Houston lose to Philly and then lose to Jacksonville, they're going to be 10-6. And the Titans, if Baltimore or Pittsburgh lose, and the Titans win out, they have a better division record and they could win the division. Thank you. That's all.
Well, I'm not going to say it can't happen because in 2011, the Texans needed to win a game to get a bye, and they lost their last three. 2012, they needed to win one of their last two to get home field advantage. They lost both of those. So I don't think they're going to lose that last game here to Jacksonville. But stranger things have happened.
That'd be a home playoff game for the Titans in that scenario. What do you think? We talked about Gordon a little bit earlier. I mean, it's always dangerous to say bad things about the Patriots, but they look as shaky going into the playoffs as they've looked at any time. And we've read and read a lot about how the foundations there have gotten. Brady doesn't look like himself. He looks like age is catching up to him. Gronk, he could certainly say the same thing. They lose Gordon, their downfield weapon. They look ripe for the taking in the playoffs, particularly if they have to go on the road.
Well, I believe the Texans are going to lose to the Eagles, beat the Jaguars, finish 11-5, win the division, host a game here, probably win, and then go to New England where they've never won. It would be the fifth time in three seasons the Texans have been playing in New England, twice in the playoffs. If they're ever going to win there, this would seem to be the season to do it. But on the other hand, Patriots are 6-0 at home. They got the Bills and the Jets. They're going to be 8-0 at home. You certainly don't want to play them at Gillette Stadium. You want to play them at home. But that's just what I think is going to happen to the Texans. And I love going to Boston. I hate going to Foxborough 5 times in 3 years. If the Texans put me in that situation, I'm going to rip the heck out of them.
If not then, though, I mean, they'd be going on the road the week after that to presumably Kansas City or Los Angeles for an AFC Championship game on the road. They'd be ripe for the taking there, I would think.
Yeah, but, you know, every time they've won a Super Bowl, they've had, or every time they've gone to the Super Bowl, they've had home field advantage. And I've never seen the Patriots play worse on the road. And unless there's a report out of Boston today that Brady's playing with a sprained MCL and has been for a while. Don't know if it's true, but that might explain some of the way he's playing and throwing the ball. But I don't see New England as a Super Bowl team. I picked them and the Rams before the season because I pick New England every year. I tell you, somebody I would love to write about at the Super Bowl is Philip Rivers. Just because he's waited so long, he's a great personality, great talker, and I think of all the players in the league who have represented the league so well and played very well, who haven't been in the Super Bowl, he's the most deserving.
Final call for John is Jay on line two. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Hey, this I'm a Colts fan, and this year they've obviously turned it around in a big way. I still think they really won the way. Now, there's been a lot of rumors out there about Le'Veon Bell possibly wanting to come that way with a lot of money to spend this year that Indy has. Do you guys see Ballard, you know, pulling the trigger, even though he's got three young, good running backs there? Also need to tie up some issues in the secondary. Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts about that.
Absolutely not. Le'Veon Bell is not going to end up in Indianapolis. I think he's going to end up in New York with the Jets because Sam Darnold played a great game against the Texans Saturday, and the media said it's the best game he played. The injury he had where he had to watch Josh McCown, they thought was good for him, but he doesn't have weapons, and Bell, with them having $120 million in cap room, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get a monster contract to go help out Sam Darnold.
John, Merry Christmas. And thanks
for everything.
Yeah, thanks for everything. We'll catch up with you next week before the new year.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And yippee-ki-yay.